I have so many important things to say. It's going to knock your socks off.
No.
Is your mic on? Is your mic on?
No, maybe not.
I guess my batteries are dead. Is the sound system on?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'll have to talk off because there's nothing here. I turned it on. But. Our Anna is here today. What a happy day! And she looks so good. Oh, what a blessing you've given us, honey. Okay, I've got a lot up here. Now remember that the Ganges United Methodist Church invites us to a Lenten gathering on April 11th. And there's a program. This is in the morning. It's from 10 to noon. And it's called Miss Overflowing Teacup Pageant. And that's with all different area churches that will be there. And this is the first time that we've been invited, but nobody signed up. So we've got one more week, and then I have to RSVP. So if anybody's planning to go, which would be very nice, sign up, please. All right. Sign your registration pad in your pew. And please take the upper row. The devotionals are back there by the door. And if you take one and you think, oh, I'm not going to read this thing, give it to somebody else, and a friend or a relative. And there's even, I don't know if there's any left with the big print on them or not. Next week is Noisy Can. And the proceeds go to our missionaries from Nepal, the Dornums. And also next Sunday is Encore Sunday. We'll be having Sunday school today, and everybody's invited. We have such a grand time, and with our great teacher that leads us, we have learned so much over these years. Some people gave me a smirk like I was being facetious. I was being very serious when I said that. Our leader, our pastor, is a wonderful teacher. Now, Rich gave me some news about Helen Heiser. She goes to a small country church, and I think it might be Methodist.
Yes.
Now it is. Now the pastor, what did you say?
Pastor's wife.
Oh, the pastor's wife. Yes.
Pastor. So they just diagnosed her with.
Oh, okay, that's right. She's diagnosed with cancer, and it's in an advanced stage. And their son, who was 60, just passed away recently, too. So the pastor of Helen Heiser's little church, they need a lot of prayers. I also want us to remember Paul Monson. He needs our prayers. And are there anybody else? Have any other people that need prayers? Sherry?
My mother-in-law and father-in-law, Pat and Alan, they all both need prayers. They're making some transitions in their life.
Yes, and Rick's parents, both of them need it. Can you imagine that both of them not good at the same time? Whew. That's a lot. But thank God he's got Rick and his other brothers and sisters and Sherry. So are there any other people you want us to pray for? Trudy?
My daughter Amy and her son Jeremy are going through disagreements very seriously. They need prayers to
heal
their
problems. Rick?
Yeah, one of the locals in Alabama, he was in the hospital with double pneumonia early last week, and then we had a heart attack while I was in the hospital. So it's apparently a little better, but it's still being
there. So that's from the hardware store.
Yep.
Okay. Oh boy. Well, there's one other thing.
say this morning before we begin. When we sing today, I want to be able to hear you. Let's put some joy in our songs today. All right, Mr. Heiser. It's now time for worship.
Darkness at all.
If we claim to have fellowship with him,
and yet continue to walk in darkness,
we lie and do not live by the truth.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins.
If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin.
Let's continue with the opening prayer. God
of light, in whom there is no darkness, and you made the sun to shine, wake us not only from the night of rest, but wake us also from our night of doubt and fear. Make our lives in the light of truth, taught by your Spirit, and reveal in Jesus Christ our Lord, whom we praise forever. Amen.
And now we'll sing 513, Soldiers of Christ Arise.
Haven't noticed, it's rained. Finally, I told Mary as we were driving, we always enjoy the drive from over at Bradley here. It's a pleasant drive for us. And even on the brightest sunny day, the sun is behind us, not in our eyes. And we were talking on the way here, and I said, you know, it won't be long until we're going to be seeing green in the trees, and said, if you look at the trees, you can almost see the buds or the leaves on some of the trees, and it creates a sense of expectation in us, and that's part of our Christian faith as well, and a part of worship expectation. Share a couple things with you. I saw Paul late Friday afternoon, and he had at that time, he was doing better. He said he improved a lot. He still needs our prayers, but he's doing well. He's had a problem lately with balance and falling, and so that's, I think, going to be perhaps a bigger concern going forward than his situation right now. So please continue to pray for Paul and Irene and their family. The other thing I wanted to share with you, I didn't know whether I should mention it or not, but it seems appropriate. I did something I had never done before in my life. Some of you have done this, I'm sure. I sent a couple text messages back and forth with our son Steve, who was in London, or is in London, England, this week. Steve and Kayla and her mom and dad are spending about a week, I think, in England. And Stephen sent me this picture of this big building in London, and I said, what is it? He says, well, enlarge it and see what it says. So I enlarged it, and I think it said, I can't remember the exact words, it either said Methodist Center or United Methodist Center. And, where a large part of our church originated, there's evidence of it over there still. Years ago, I had someone visit in a worship service who was a Methodist and from England. He was British. You could tell when he talked where he came from, but that was an experience. But they were in this building, and they were in a part of the building, and there were a couple of plaques for John and Charles Wesley, and Stephen took his cell phone out, took a picture of them. Normal thing to do, right? And one of the custodians tapped him on the shoulder and said, you're not allowed to take pictures in here. You need to go to Wesley Chapel if you want to take pictures. But he'd already taken the pictures. Mary and I have been in London twice when we were going to Azerbaijan, when the plane landed in Heathrow and we had a little bit of a layover and then we took off. So I don't know if you can really count that as being... I mean, our feet were on the ground, but that was about it. And we saw London from, you know, I think one day it was too cloudy, we couldn't see anything, and the other day we could see it in the distance, but... I told him when he went over there, I said, if you get a chance, visit some of the Methodist sites. And he said, well, if they got some free time, because, you know, Kayla's mom and dad sort of planned this trip out. So anyway, he said he would try if he could. So I said, well, just enjoy yourself. So anyway, that was fun for us. And, I want to invite you to our time of prayer, and please remember, as God's Spirit leads you, those who were named moments ago, and also those that are on our prayer list. So let's be in attitude of prayer. We'll pray silently, and after the Lord's Prayer, we're singing one verse of the song that's on our insert, The Light of the World is Jesus, just the first verse. So let's be in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's good to be here this morning. We thank you for each one that has gathered here with us. It is our prayer that the worship that we offer to you today would be in spirit and truth, pleasing and acceptable in your eyes. As we offer our worship to you, we pray that you would speak to us through your word, through your spirit, through your people, and that we, even as we give our best to you, might receive from you that which we need for our lives today. We thank you for your goodness and your love. We thank you for your provision for our needs. We thank you for how you help us when life is difficult. We thank you for those times of joy and celebration, knowing that you are there with us in those times as well. We thank you for this church. We thank you for family and friends. We thank you for so many blessings that come into our lives. We confess our unworthiness, that we have done each one that which is wrong in your eyes, have not always done the good we should do. We ask humbly for your forgiveness and ask for your help so that our lives might be more pleasing in your eyes, more in harmony with your word and with your will. We know that you're a God who cares about people, and we offer our prayers for those that were mentioned just moments ago. We know that you love them, you care for them, and so it's our prayer that your love and grace and mercy might touch their lives and help them in this moment of testing and trial. We pray for those who are around them and care for them. Give them your compassion and your guidance. We offer prayers for our world because we know there are many people who hurt, many people who suffer from natural disasters, and many people who suffer because of the hatred and the violence that is in our world. We offer a general kind of prayer. We pray sometimes, though, for people that we know who are experiencing this kind of hardship. We pray for peacemakers in our world. We pray for those who are involved in making and working for peace. We pray that you would lift others up for the same cause, and that you would use us in our families, in our communities, and wherever our lives are in touch with others, to promote peace and understanding and love among people. We offer prayers for our nation and our leaders. It's a time of testing, and Lord, we pray for your wisdom for those who offer leadership to us. We pray for your church. We pray for that larger church that includes so many different denominations. We offer prayers for the United Methodist Church and for the Michigan Conference of the United Methodist Church. Help us, we pray, to discern your will and way for us. And we pray that you would give us the courage to follow your guidance and to live as believers in Jesus and follow in his way. We offer prayers for this church, Saugatuck UMC. Help us, we pray, to be faithful to you, thank you for your blessings from long, long ago to this very day. Pray that you would continue to use us to share your love. We pray for this worship service. We pray for each other. It's our prayer once again that our worship would be pleasing in your sight. Hear us now as we offer the prayer we ask that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite you to our time of prayer for those who are sick and have other needs as well. We will follow the pattern that we have been following. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for Lord, in your mercy. This time our ushers will wait upon us and we will worship God with our tithes and offerings. Father, it's our prayer that you would accept these gifts that we give to you. Bless them and bless us, and use both the gifts and us to your service and to your glory and to your honor. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. scripture this morning is found in John chapter 9. I'm going to be reading portions of 9, and they don't exactly correspond with what's in the bulletin, not because Joanne made a mistake, but I changed my mind. So, yeah. Sometimes I do it intentionally and sometimes accidentally, but it happens. But anyway, you might just listen and not try to follow along. It might be difficult to follow along. I'm reading this morning from the NIV, chapter 9. It'll begin with verse 1. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, put it in the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came home seeing. They went to the Pharisees. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." Then, after talking to the man's parents, a second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth. We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I've told you already. You didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You are steeped in sin since birth. How dare you lecture us?" They threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and he went and found him, and he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Heavenly Father, in these moments we pray that you speak to us anew through your word, through your messenger. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This healing of the man born blind gives us three simple steps in the gospel message. And I really believe three simple steps for experiencing God's healing in any area of our lives. And those simple steps are hear, believe, obey. Man born blind heard Jesus, he believed Jesus, he obeyed Jesus. Nothing is easier to understand, and yet for some it is so hard. In this very story, the Pharisees heard with their ears. They did not fully comprehend what Jesus was saying. They did not believe. They did not obey. To receive the gospel, to receive the good news, requires these three things: to hear, to believe, and to obey. Many years ago, I was a pastor in Stanwood, and on the east side of Stanwood is a private community. They had guards at the gates, sort of. They didn't carry weapons or anything like that. And usually they only had them there on the weekends. You needed to have permission if you weren't a resident of Canadian Lakes to come in. And so very seldom did I go on the weekends unless I got invited for a reason, and then I would say who I had come to see, and they would check, and it was okay, and they'd let me go in. I never got stopped, but as I was a pastor at Stanwood, over time there were a number of people that started attending the Northland United Methodist Church there, and we had a pretty strong contingent of people from Canadian Lakes. And those people were, for the most part, retired people who had lived down towards the Detroit area. They had promoted Canadian Lakes in that area, and people had moved up there. It was a nice place to live. And these people, if they had been church people, they needed to find a new church to go to. Or if they perhaps had never gone to church, this was a time in their lives when they would start attending church. That was something they were finding that was missing in their lives. And so we had this group of people. And we did prayer concerns there like we do here. And I was told about a lady in Canadian Lakes. Her name, first name was Bernice. And they said, she's sick, and we'd like you to pray for her. So we started praying for her. She didn't attend our church. And one day I said to someone from Canadian Lakes, you know, I'd be happy to go out and see Bernice if she would want me to. And so they asked her, and she said it would be okay. And this was my very first visit with her and her husband. And we were talking, and she was talking about her background, really her husband's background as well. And during their active years, they had been busy with many things, and they just hadn't found much time for church. But they had tried to live a good life. And they were talking to me, and I said, you know, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so that no matter how good a life we live, it just doesn't measure up. And I went on to explain, and I don't remember the exact words, but just in simple words, the gospel message. And her response, I'll never forget this, her response was, I guess I've been doing it the wrong way. And while I was there, we offered a prayer, and her husband joined her, and she invited Christ into her life as Lord and Savior. And when I think about the story of the man born blind, I thought about her, because she took those very same steps. She heard, she believed, and she obeyed. Every one of us, if we are believers, in Christ have heard, we've believed, and we have obeyed. It's a powerful message. It's a simple message. This is what Jesus says. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." In the Old Testament, there is a story about Samuel. Samuel was just a boy. One day he would become a great prophet for God and be used in powerful ways by God. But he was staying with a priest by the name of Eli, and in the middle of the night, Samuel thought he heard Eli calling him. So he got up and went to Eli, and he said, "Your servant is here. What can I do for you?" Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." It happened three times. And finally, Eli said to Samuel, "The next time the Lord calls to you, say, 'Here I am.'" Then he said, "Go lay down." So Samuel did as he had been told, and again the voice called to him, and Samuel responded, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." When God speaks to us, it's so imperative that we listen. Now, the man born blind had the privilege of having Jesus stand in front of him and speak to him. But God still speaks today. He speaks through the Bible. Get that impression when we're reading the Bible sometimes and we hear a word that's just for us. He speaks to us through prayer. Prayer is not only speaking to God, but it's also listening to God. He speaks to us sometimes through a still, small voice. Sometimes we call it the conscience, but it's the Spirit speaking to us. Sometimes God speaks to us through circumstances. Sometimes He speaks to us through other people. Sometimes He speaks to us through dreams and visions. So I was writing these down. I thought, I could preach a sermon on each one of these. I remember, I'm going to say this was a privilege, but at the time I didn't feel like it was a privilege. When I was at Empire, I had a retired bishop in my congregation during the summertime, Bishop Raines. He had come out of the one of the Indiana conferences. It's very intimidating, I think, for any pastor to have a bishop in your congregation. He was a very gracious man. And one of the things I remember about Bishop Raines, I remember where he sat. He sat, the sanctuary was more straight and went a little deeper, but he sat maybe four or five pews back, just a little bit on the inside of the aisle on the left side from the speaker. And the thing that I remember about Bishop Raines was he was a tall man, but when it came time for the sermon, he would set up straight and he would cock his head just a little bit because he wanted to hear. Now, I don't think he wanted to hear this young pastor. I think he wanted to hear what God somehow was going to say through this young pastor. Hearing God speak is such an important part of our Christian lives. The second step is believing. To believe what we hear. For the blind man, he needed to believe. And have you ever wondered why it was that Jesus, so many times he would just say the word and someone would be healed just in the instant? Other times there was a kind of a process, but here he made the clay with spittle, put it in the man's eyes, told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash it. And the reason that Jesus did that, many believe, is because up until that point, the man really didn't have faith. And it was a way to help create faith in the man. And it was believed in that day that the saliva of a good man had healing powers. And so Jesus used that to help create a sense of hope and expectation and to begin to cause this man to have faith. Can you imagine what it was like for him as he was walking? He's still blind, still struggling to find his way to the pool. Can you imagine what was going through his mind and the hope and the expectation that was building? Can you imagine how he felt as he put his hands down into the water and raised them up to wash his eyes out? I think there had to have been a great sense of anticipation. Anticipation. I wish I had more time to talk about anticipation. I thought about the little girl that went to the prayer meeting. It was a farming community, and they were having a drought. You know the story. She brought an umbrella. Everybody looked at her and said, "What? Why do you have an umbrella?" And she said, "I thought we were praying for rain." She expected it to rain. When we pray, we expect things to happen. When we pray for people who are sick, we expect them to be healed. I could talk a long time about expectation. It brings me to the last step, trust. The blind man trusted and then he obeyed. He obeyed. That's the last step, obeyed. It's an important step. I was reading about the story of the hymn we're going to end the service with, "Trust and Obey, for There's No Other Way." I don't know if you've heard the story about that, but I hadn't, and I found it. It comes from the days of Dwight L. Moody. And Dwight L. Moody had evangelistic meetings at that time, back in the late 1800s, and they were akin to Billy Graham's crusades, only not near as big. But he was in Brockton, Massachusetts, and a young man in a testimony meeting there stood up to give his testimony about salvation in his life. And this is what he said. I think it's neat. He said, "I'm not quite sure," meaning that he wasn't really certain God would save him from his sins. But then he said, "But I'm going to trust, and I'm going to obey." And he was planning to trust God for his salvation and do what he could to obey God's will. And the music leader had written down what this young man said, and that was the beginning of the hymn, "Trust and Obey, for There's No Other Way to Be Happy in Jesus But to Trust and Obey." Jesus heard that this blind man had been thrown out of the synagogue, and he went to him And he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in me?" The man said, "Point him out to me so that I can believe in him." Jesus said, "You're looking at him right now. Don't you recognize my voice?" And the man said, "Master, I believe." And he worshiped him. May it be so for you. May it be so for me. Amen. Please stand as we sing our closing hymn. Stand if you're able. Trust and Obey, number 467. For the benediction as it's printed in our bulletin. Grant us, O Lord, that which has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that which we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.